This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. Yeah. You have the famous Mike Bassick for half the show and the famouser Alec Medford, hopefully for the whole show. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing?
I'll make it as long as I can. This is what I'll tell you.
Oh, Kevin. No.
I'm doing great. I have my third meeting of the week during or after the show. I'm excited.
How long was the meeting yesterday, and how long do you think it should have been?
No, it was actually as a Rangers meeting, and it was shorter than I thought. So
Okay. That
was a very quick meeting. The other meeting I had, Inside Edge, which it did feel like a class I was taking. I was like, I need another 3 to 6 hours. I don't know if you guys know how stupid I am on a computer.
Right.
Like, you know, like just do this and go here and this. And I'm like, this is awesome. You're doing it great. Do you think, I don't even know how to get my computer to turn on and off. I need more help. But I didn't say that. You know, you act like you're smart in those classes and you just don't say anything.
Sure.
And then you ask Jared Sandler afterwards how you do it all.
Was he helpful in that
he
regard?
He said, oh, hey, don't worry. I'll help you on these things, finding all this awesome information and awesome video clips and everything. And then today I have an MLB broadcasters meeting because I'm an MLB broadcaster, guys. That's my title now. MLB broadcaster.
Do they give you a special bag or anything like that?
I have honestly no clue what we're going to be talking about in this meeting, except I think they're going over new rules. Mm. But don't you think we should know those already?
I do.
Like, do you recall us ever doing a segment on like new rules that are happening in baseball?
Maybe they're going to go back to you can't just run through at second base.
That's what I called you about that. I've heard that could be a new rule this year, is they're going to make players either slide or stop at second base when there's a force play. It's like an automatic out because what has happened in baseball, and I can't remember who did it first. It might have been the Cubs. And I asked somebody last year, I'm like, why are people not sliding at second base on a play at second base with two outs? And they said, well, here's the deal. A team, I think it was the Cubs who came up with this, and now everybody's copying it. If you have runners on first and second or first and third with two outs, they're like, all right, and there's a force at second. If you slide, you slow down. That's the goal of sliding, is so you can slow down and stay on the base. So like, don't slide. Sprint through the base. Maybe you're safe. And then you'll be out once you touch the base, but they're going to have to go tag you.
Uh-huh.
And when they go tag you, the run from third scored.
Ah, that makes
sense.
So
it's the goal is do not slide at second. Get there as fast as you can. And if you beat the throw, run through it, you're going to be out, but we scored the run.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, like, because it looks really weird.
What if the new rules were like obstacles in the outfield, like just random ramps that kind of pop up out of nowhere?
Or you put a hill in the outfield.
I was going to say, I think they got rid of that
in Houston.
Flagpole
right there in center
field. Yeah, they have a flagpole and a hill in Houston.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be adding any
more bumper cars out in right field or something like that, and Adolis just kind of has to avoid it.
I mean, it would have been interesting. It would be horrible, but can you imagine if they're like, However the ground is over at the new stadium, we're just laying turf over it, and you just have potholes and like guys blow out their knees and then their career's over, but they're like, part of baseball, you never know how level advantage. The ground is.
Yeah. The new warning tracks made out of trampoline. You know, like that would be dope.
I have always thought that is something they should do.
Yeah. Well, let's
everybody
do it.
Loves, you know, Gary Matthews Jr. or yes. Ken Griffey Jr.
or Evan
Get
Carter.
A trampoline there and be like,
remember when Evan Carter jumped so high? We were like, oh my gosh, does he have wings?
Do you know they have trampoline soles now that are legal in all sports? So they're, you know, if you take out the insert in your shoe that's just floppy and worthless.
There's, isn't that supposed to protect your feet?
Not, but you know, I mean, it's not really.
I gotcha.
They're using more of the sole to do that than the insert. People have made these inserts where they're carbon fiber, and let's just say you take the toe part of it and you flip it up. It's so strong, it like trampolines you.
Really?
So like, yeah, it's guys in the NBA use it now. So I'm not saying everybody in the NBA uses it. I don't know why you wouldn't. You literally jump 3 inches higher with these in, like, so if you would like just to add a proc, if you're a premium athlete, like an NBA basketball player, I guess not Luka, but I guess you can jump
up to three inches
higher, based off of these. But I don't know. I've been thinking about getting my sons this, but they need to practice more if they want those. So
just like my LA Gear catapults back in third grade, I could jump higher.
Man, there was a time when, and I promise I'll talk about the Rangers bullpen after this. There was a time when if you got new shoes, there's nobody who could tell you anything about your athleticism.
I'm faster than you right
now. Yeah, like science and physics would maybe bring you back to earth, but there's nothing another human would tell you that you'd be like, no, I got the Reebok black tops. You don't even know what's about to happen.
Just get ready. My handles are about to be better than yours.
I was thinking about your shoes the other day, Kevin.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
I got you the Shaquille O'Neal, like circular, like hypnotists or whatever. I forget what they're called, like Reeboks. Did your son, he took those? Does he still like them or did they wear out or did
he garage sale them? No, we have not garage sailed them. He does still like them. He does still wear them. And one of the things I think he likes about them is those shoes are so like heavy. Yeah. You don't need to worry about like the protector as much. Like if you want to wear them every now and again, but keep them in really good shape. Whereas some of the...
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. The toe box.
Yeah. Whereas some of the like...
Those are miserable.
And that is fair, but because those are so heavy, he doesn't really have to use those, and that's a good thing. But yeah, no, absolutely, he does. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I have been like switching out my shoes more often, like a normal person and stuff, just for you guys. And so my shoes wouldn't get holes in them.
I haven't been paying attention at all. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Okay.
Now that I know that you're doing it for us, though,
that's right.
I'll start paying more attention and compliment you on it.
That's delightful.
Nice shoes, man.
This is a third pair of shoes I've seen you wear in a month. Good job.
Hike up those pants. Let me see what you got working today.
All right.
Hike up your pants a little more. Show your work.
Oh my God. Give me cut number one.
Tuck it into your sock.
That's too long. Like, who's that for?
You.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Okay, well, no, never mind. I'm not getting drug into this conversation.
They win an argument.
They call him Hogwild Hagland.
Can we just put it on the table? Guess what?
Give me cut number one, please, Alex. Save me from this.
The 2-2. And that's in there for a called third strike. Outside corner, bottom of the zone. Yates retires the side in order. It is a happy house in Arlington. Rangers defeat the Blue Jays 2-0.
He's on the Dodgers.
Yes. That's one of the reasons I wanted to play that clip.
Probably their seventh inning guy.
So I know there's a lot of things that could go a variety of ways for the Rangers, but just on paper, going into spring training, it feels as though this is far and away, the lack of a closer is far and away the Rangers' biggest like hole that you see going into spring training. Yes?
Without a doubt. I can't remember. I know that there's been a lot of failures over the last decade at closer, whether it was Sam Dyson at times, Jose Leclerc.
Even that World Series season, we were very uncertain going into the playoffs.
I just don't recall them ever going into spring training going, we have no clue. Like, I get that we can go over who could do it, but usually going into spring training, like, Yates wasn't the closer at this time last year. It was Jose Leclerc. He just closed a whole bunch of playoff games, and Spores was supposed to be your main setup guy. It ended up neither one of them had that job, but I'm worried. That's
too.
The one thing. I think this is a close to 90-win team, around 90 wins, if they can figure out how to get the last, and I'm going to say six outs
of
games.
If Yates, and I realize Yates would just be responsible for three of those most nights. If Yates would have been back, would you have been locked in at 90, you think?
Yes.
Okay. So over the last 11 years, how many different save leaders do you think the Rangers have had?
I'm gonna give you a crazy number. 8 out of 9. Like, you can only have 9, so I'm going to go.
In the last 11 years.
Oh, last 11 years. Yeah. All right, 9 out of 11.
11 out of 11.
It might be 11.
11 out of 11. So in the last 11 years, the Rangers have had 11 different saves leaders. So it's not like the switch is odd for them. But to your point, it's the lack of, I think it's going to be this person. Because anybody who says, I think it's going to be this person, I have more questions about why exactly that you think it's going to be that person. And so then another idea got floated yesterday, which I don't love because I feel like we've tried this before. Could the Rangers benefit from a role-free approach? And so that's what Evan Grant trotted out last night. Could you just...
role-free.
Yeah.
I think
that makes me nervous.
I mean, that's what they're going to have to do.
Probably.
To start the season is try and figure out, you know, give guys opportunities to figure it out. Unless they probably have one guy in mind, right?
I think it's Chris Martin.
They probably have him in mind right now, and they're like, that's
the leading candidate.
Yeah, we're going to give him every opportunity to have the job, and we'll see how things go. And if he doesn't do well in the role, then we'll try and see if the next guy can, and then hopefully they can hold off until they get to trade deadline, and if they still need that spot, then they'll move there. But that is where Nolan said this before. Lots of the GMs say it. That's where
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
They have you over a barrel because they know you need something and they're trying to get your best, whatever it is.
I mean, I did see, and I know he wasn't the closer last year. David Robertson is still out there. You'd have to open up a few bucks.
To move somebody.
Yeah, and Leody would be the most likely. Yep. To you trade his 4.75 million for, let's just say, a non-major leaguer. That would give you enough money to maybe offer David Robertson a 1-year, $7.5 million deal. You stay under the threshold of 241, and you have a guy who you're like, we know he's a good setup guy. We saw him last year be a good setup guy.
Yes.
We're going to ask him to close. He has approximately 200 saves in his career. That might be asking a little bit, but we know he knows how to get at least 3 of the last 6 outs.
And I think that's where I'm at in terms of, because I see people making different suggestions and everything like that, but a lot of these suggestions have no more than 8 to 10 saves ever, right, in a year. And that's not really what I'm looking for. Like, I don't look at this bullpen, and I know there's a lot of variety in the bullpen, but I don't look at this bullpen and be like, we have no good bullpen pitchers.
Right.
I look at it and say, we have nobody that has any real experience closing games. And so that's why even Dave Robertson, because I saw him be really, really good in the 8th inning, I would be like, well, you've had a lot of saves in your career. I feel better about that, yeah, than Chris Martin or anything else.
I feel like that's what Bochy and Maddux are going to be observing and paying the most attention to. Like, sitting down going, I understand that we don't have this. We're going to work on this the most, right, during spring training and getting these guys into situations where it can kind of simulate it enough. But because even Boch has told us multiple times that he can't.
But how? In the 6th through the 9th inning of 99% of spring training games, you're facing AA and AAA players.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the tough part, is there's no way to simulate a 9th inning of a Major League Baseball game in spring training.
I agree with all of that. So my question for y'all is, and I realize the answer is always going to be maybe, but it's not the same as the game. Do you get a sense for pitchers or players just knowing, like, these people are made for, like, those balls of steel moment? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Until you see it.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out. I know you can think that, but can you get a good feel for that without seeing it? And you're like, hey, I know he hasn't closed, but I've seen this dude do all kinds of things and he's got it.
Yeah. It's a educated guess.
That's a good way to put it.
That's what you're doing as an organization, whether you're Chris Young, Ross Fenstermaker, Bruce Bochy, Mike Maddux. They're going to be making educated guesses on the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And then they're going to have to adjust as games go along. I think this is going to be a year when you say bullpen by committee, because you're going to go, well, he hasn't got it done the last 2 times in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning. Let's bump him down to now a 5th or 6th inning role when we're losing. We'll put him in and see if he can regain his confidence, regain his command, his stuff. And we're going to bump this guy up with no real sense of he's going to get the job done. You're just going to keep playing this, game of I think he can do it. I'll tell you what I'm hoping for this year. I'm hoping the Cleveland Guardians stink. And then they're like, what's the point of having Emmanuel Clase if we are not competing with Detroit, if we're not competing with Kansas City? The problem is Cleveland does look good on paper. Cleveland did just get to the American League Championship Series. But if they're 10 games under 500 at the end of May, Emmanuel Clase this year makes $4.9 million. The next year, he makes $6.4 million. The next year, you have a team option at $10 million. And in 2028, you have a team option at $10 million. Problem solved.
Yeah.
But you do have to trade quite a bit to get him. But I'm looking at their budget and going, well, I have a guy. I mean, if we do the math here, approximately $31 million over 4 years. You can't get a better deal on a dude who put up a 0.6 ERA last year in the major leagues as a closer. He was not good in the playoffs. I don't know why he struggled so much in the playoffs, but I guess that's my hope. Is that Emmanuel Clase becomes very available and the Rangers use, I don't know, whether it's obviously Justin Falk. I don't want to use Sebastian Walcott. Sure. I would not want to use him. But I don't know. If you have to use Sebastian Walcott and Justin Foscue to get a closer the next 4 years, I'm okay with it.
Or use them as the closer. What if, or like Wyatt Langford, what if they're the closer? You just don't know. They're you're stuck them out in outfield and they have, maybe he has a great curveball.
Huh.
I'm just throwing out options right now, Kevin.
I don't know if that would be my first choice.
Well, you haven't given me a solution either. So
I said David Robertson.
Yeah,
and
that's
then it comes
feasible.
Down to like people aren't picking like Teodo to make the opening day roster.
Look, we've thrown it out there.
But like you give him 2 months in the bullpen.
Dude can throw hard.
And he's doing great in the sixth and seventh inning, and you're like, hey, he's getting major league confidence, he's getting major leaguers out. We don't have a closer. We're not succeeding at it, which is just scary. Like, how are you going to win 90 games if you blow 10 saves in the first 2 months?
Yeah. And look, I saw this question, and this is a fair question, and this is why judging relievers can be tricky at times. Sorry if I'm missing who texted this in. Wasn't Robertson second highest in blown saves last season? What am I missing? So what I would say about that is he had 8. 4 of those came in like a 6-week span. And then I believe for the next 2.5 months, he had 1 blown save. So you're right. There was a 6-week period where you're like, I'd like to say this.
Nobody in Major League Baseball sees David Robertson as a closer anymore.
Yep.
They see him as a setup guy.
That's true.
We're throwing out a guy that 30 teams in Major League Baseball see as a 7th, 8th inning guy. But we're just throwing out there, he does have 177 career saves. He is almost 40 years old. He'll be 40 on April 9th. Like, I'm just throwing out another option. If he was on your team last year, that maybe if you got him back, he would now be part of the musical chairs of closers.
And that's why I'm curious. You mentioned Teodo. We've talked about John Gray. Like, there are lots of options out there. But the issue with every single one of these options comes down to
experience.
Yeah, I've never seen you really do it before.
Oh, they're showing, and we got to go to break, but they're showing the Dodgers 17 starting pitchers throwing bullpens right
now. Yeah.
We have one of them.
Yeah, the guy who would no doubt be our closer might be their 7th inning guy. Good for them. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, winners and losers of the NFL season, both on and off the field. Talk about you media folks next on The Fan.
2nd and goal, 10 seconds. Daniels fires, end zone, touchdown! Jamison Crowder, preposterous!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man who threw that pass, I think, is one of the clear answers for this. But aside from, like, I get it, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So that one makes a lot of sense. Winners and losers of the 2024 season. And I think Jaden Daniels is a great example. Obviously, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but I feel like he overachieved, they overachieved, and everything in between mostly overachieved. So I would argue Jaden Daniels and then the Commanders as a whole are one of the winners of this season.
Dak's contract.
That was dumb.
I mean, Dak was the highest player in the NFL to start the season.
That is true.
Who did any better than that?
In terms of money?
Yeah.
Nobody.
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 CeeDee Lamb got a new contract, too. That was a dub.
He did. Yeah. So let me ask you this.
And Jerry got a dub. He now has the best quarterback in football.
I don't agree with that.
It matters on how much you pay him. I think he told us that.
He was shocked that after signing Dak Prescott to that contract that they weren't where the Philadelphia Eagles were.
Yeah,
and in the words of Yoda, that is why you fail. Because that is how you make a determination.
You ought to have three.
If I'm them, I give Jalen Tolbert $30 million in the offseason and say, we have the best number two receiver in the league. I gave him $30 million bucks. How can you argue?
Man, that feels like the most Cowboys move. But if we're talking about contracts and stuff, Sam Darnold's bank account has got to be one of the winners, right? I don't know.
Who do you think he's going to be with next year?
I don't know.
I guess I'm going to ask you that question.
I think he's going to be back with the Vikings. And I realize...
Like on a one-year deal?
I don't think so. I think he is getting like a multi-year deal. But if they did one-year deal him, it would be to franchise tag him, right? And if they franchise tag him, he goes up from about, I think, 10 or 12 to about $40 million. So just right there... That's got to feel like a win. And I know they have a rookie, but I still think he's going to go back to Minnesota.
I just don't know if I want to pay him that much.
I don't want him to be the quarterback, right? In a way,
you like for McCarthy.
The general manager can't want Sam Darnold to be the quarterback next year.
And every other team that's looking around or looking at him has got to be going, "All right, he was never this until this one time when he got with this coach." Is our coach that guy?
And that's why I think he'll stay. Because I think Kevin O'Connell might be to the point where he's like, no, I figured it out. I unlocked it. I mean, he might be like, I unlocked it as far as it can go.
Detroit. Yeah, and that might be it.
I don't know. But either way, we can all agree he's going to get some money.
That thing that you just said is one of the biggest factors in knowing when to walk away from something. I got him as far as we could go with it.
Yeah.
But now I know we're not going any further. It's time to walk away from that. And that's something the Cowboys, we've like regretfully had situations where like, you could have walked away from this one. You could have walked away from that one. And for whatever reason, you won't. That one right there, I think in every sport, knowing when this guy is, you've maxed him out.
Safe to say running backs across the league. Now, I know, Mike, you have said you don't think it's as simple as, hey, the running back is back. Both of y'all have talked about it's more complex in terms of like, hey, if you're right there, maybe the right running back. But I do feel like a lot of teams are going to overreact and say the running back is back and now you get paid.
I'll combine our two segments. It's like having a great closer on a team that's going to win 70 games. What's the point?
Yes.
Who cares? Yes. We're not competing for a playoff spot. If you think that you're Baltimore, Philadelphia, you're a running back away from winning the championship. It makes all the sense in the world. If you think, hey, we're rebuilding a team or we're an average team, our offensive line is okay at best, getting a running back is probably not going to elevate you a lot. You'd look at defensive end, a better offensive tackle. You know, you'd obviously quarterback's the easy one to say. But, I look at it as running back, I think, is – more important than people make it out to be, but you got to watch out for like Aston Jeanty will fix all the Cowboys issues.
I'm looking at the free agent running backs though, and I just don't love.
Yeah, what's
the
in
crop.
That?
Number one, Aaron Jones, good running back, really good running back. James Conner,
cool.
Najee Harris,
he's in the Terminator.
J.K. Dobbins. Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Rico Dowdle, Madison, Khalil Herbert. So the crop in running back free agency is names. And then you have what appears to be a good crop of running backs coming out of the draft. Like there's a number of really good ones there. So that is kind of a weird place in free agency with the running back situation. So I'm not paying a lot for them if I can get one there at the moment.
I would hope as a Cowboys person, like third and sixth round, why not just take two?
Third round especially.
Right, yeah. Your third round, you're hoping, is kind of your guy that's going to run a lot more. And then, you know, I have no clue when I really like the Kansas running back in one game I watched him play.
Yes, that's
but,
right.
You know, and I don't know. He was the ninth. This was well before the college season was done.
Scataboo do anything for you?
You know, I hear Bobby talk about he can't run in the NFL to save his life and won't be drafted.
won't be drafted at all.
That's what he said one show. And then he's like, well, I think he's going to get drafted, but like he can't play. And
the why don't you draft two is a great idea if you have picks and don't have the holes the Cowboys have. They have 20 something holes.
But I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how many picks they have. Didn't they get like a lot of fifth and sixth round picks through losing free agents?
Yeah.
So like that's an extra pick where you're like, hey, in the third round, we got a guy that we really think can carry the ball 15 to 20 times a game. And then I have no clue where Scataboo is going to get drafted. But let's just say in the fifth round, you're like, what a changeup that could be. And we could use him as a fullback too, I guess, at times.
3/5 and another sixth.
Yeah, so maybe one of those extra fifths. You take a running back along with hopefully the guy in the second, third round you really like.
This might feel too harsh.
Because you don't have a fourth.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, sweet-ass play that was.
Maybe two fifth-round running backs.
Is it too harsh to say Lamar Jackson is one of the losers of this season?
Yeah, he is, but it stinks for him.
Because not only did he not get the MVP, they lost in the playoffs again.
Yeah.
And I like Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. But people are like, oh, he's 3-5. He's 0-3 against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Like,
we're in today's world of the Super Bowl means even more than, let's say, it did in the 80s and 90s. It meant a lot back then. But is there a guy that we can remember in childhood who we are like, he was awesome and he doesn't get credit for how awesome he was because he never made it to or won a Super Bowl? Because Marino gets a lot of credit and love.
Yeah.
Is Jim Kelly not appreciated enough?
Sometimes I do think the combination of Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas are in that mix. But they got a certain level of credit.
Okay.
Warren Moon? It feels like it's more harsh now. Maybe Warren Moon. He was at the Super Bowl.
Warren Moon is a good example.
Like Cunningham, I want to say, but there's also a part of Cunningham that I'm like, yeah, he was beatable.
He had a short career of like, from, I don't know what it was, about 88 to 92, where you thought highly of him. And by 92, you're like, and then he came back to
98,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
And did something, but.
Yeah.
No, and that's wild, too, because, like, did coaches really know how to use him back then? Like, we're saying, do coaches know how to use Lamar Jackson? Or go back to then when Randall Cunningham, you're just like, I don't know, man, whenever things break down, just run. He's like, gotcha.
Yeah.
That it is easier now because Randall Cunningham, you just be like, after he throws it 3 seconds after, just smoke his butt right in the head. And see if he wants to run again. And now they're like, if you do that, you might get thrown out. And it is a 15-yard penalty.
That is true. Fair to say everything associated with the New York Jets is a loss this season.
Yeah.
They're 3 years away from
being 3 years away.
Yeah. This is now a 3-year rebuild.
Same with the four.
You got Garrett Wilson.
Who ever thought that maybe Zach Wilson was better than Aaron Rodgers when they let go of Zach Wilson?
I would not.
And he's not good. No. I'm not saying Zach Wilson is good.
Garrett Wilson turned out to like continue to grow, continue to be a really good receiver, and then they went and added Devontae Adams to the mix.
Yeah, and now he's going to leave. It sounds like they're like, no.
So, yeah, everything feels like a loss.
I know it's different. And
if this was the NBA, wouldn't they just immediately send a great player to the Jets or Giants?
Yes. Yes, they would.
For Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
We'd get Aaron Rodgers.
I know the situation is different, but wouldn't you throw the 49ers in the mix of one of the biggest losers of this season?
Yeah, they took a lot of injuries. They didn't look like the same team by any means physically. And so, and I'm not just talking about the injury part. I'm talking about the way they played their games this year.
They're now windows down to this next year, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Their team speed looks a lot slower.
Christian McCaffrey might be done. They have to hope he comes back and is that running back that really helps out a younger quarterback. They're hoping Brock Purdy improves. Not that he's not good, but improves from where he's at. And then this is the last year of his rookie deal where you're getting $1 million for your quarterback. So this is it for them. Then their window's done and they have to either restart it or go, hey, Brock Purdy, you need to turn into Josh Allen. Can you do that?
Yeah. Good luck with that. I mean, I think honestly, and that's might not be fair. Ooh. I kind of think Brock Purdy could get to that level eventually, but it's not like a year turnaround kind of thing. Like I could see like you turn your head and it's 3 years later and you're like, oh yeah, maybe Brock Purdy is pretty darn good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or obviously I realize it could not go that way. Is the biggest loser of the season perhaps Atlanta general manager Terry Fontenot? Because he's the guy who's like, We're going with Kirk Cousins. That's our guy.
How much of that contract is a problem over the next few years for them? Because I really like, was something, I remember whenever he signed that one with the Vikings, it was like every year was guaranteed, but it was like every year was kind of its own thing. And I wonder how much they're going to be like eating that for a while. But, I mean, if you have your quarterback of the future and you feel pretty good about him, you're not getting that window, but that team does have a lot of young players that are ready, that are on the up.
I think I might need to look at this a little bit more. They might have $65 million dead.
Oh no!
Coming up, $65 million dead cap. Oh. I'm sorry, Mike. I did not mean to alarm you. What a casual way to say that.
What kind of news happened that I was sleeping through?
Yeah, Walking Dead is already happening right now. Starting in Georgia.
No, potentially $65 million dead cap. So I need to look at that a little bit harder because it might be closer to 35. So, but still, it's going to be a heavy chunk.
I can see how a lot of people would say that. I, however, do look at that team and go, there's some promise there. There's some good things that are on the rise. But that is a huge amount of money to have spent already in the future.
And I hate saying this, but it just feels like inevitable in all of these conversations. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys' future.
Did you see the Giants this year, though? I mean, come on.
It's a good point. We're better than them.
Better than the Giants.
So they get a rookie quarterback. Like the Commanders.
Who are they going to get?
I mean, Cam Ward.
They screwed themselves out of the number one overall pick.
Man, that is true.
Because they didn't tank well enough.
People underestimate how important it is to be able to tank well.
That being said, though, Cowboys had a rough one this year.
They did. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You can tease baseball nuggets. I don't want to hear the rest. Coming up next, Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
The Astros officially got worse last night. Next.
2-1. Here's the pitch. Bregman swings. It's a high drive to deep left field. Coming back is Carter. He's on the track. He's at the wall. He leaps, and he makes the catch at the 366 sign. Altuve all the way down to second base, returns to first. Another tremendous play by Evan Carter in front of the garage door in left field.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
That was the double play where Semien stepped on second. They said Altuve was safe. The Rangers reviewed it and got the big double play off of the bat of Alex Bregman. And I think everybody as a Ranger fan remembers that special moment. I also remember holding my breath when Alex Bregman took that swing off Aroldis Chapman because I thought, oh no, the freaking Astros just did it again to Aroldis Chapman, and now it's to our Texas Rangers. But as Kevin would have said, and Evan Carter leaps for no reason.
Yeah. He pretty much admitted that with us.
Yeah.
He was like,
but he wasn't sure where he was at.
That's true. I appreciate that.
I'd like to thank the company Fanatics Tops for making sure that catch was never on a baseball card.
It was on a card?
Yeah, it was on Throwback Thursday. So they produced about 370 different photos of Evan Carter for a rookie card.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of them. Which they did have the photo. There is a photo of him that they could have put on a card where the ball is about 3 feet away from going in his glove as he's leaping up in the air of the American League Championship Series. And Topps thought, you know what? What if we get him at the podium after he's taken a shower and he's combed his hair and he's in a collared shirt and we really get a close-up of him like he's in school?
Not a fan of that one.
But in the back, you can see the letter DS. So you know he's at the American League Divisional Series an hour and a half after the game is over doing a press conference. Great job, Topps. Keep up the great work of picking horse-ass pictures for your for your short printed cards. Make sure we get guys at a podium after the game is over when they're showered. And just having talking time, because there's nothing more baseball card or sports card collectors want than people talking into a microphone as the collectible.
Corey, your thoughts?
They didn't do it as like a Topps Now card either. Like
I don't know about that. They did it as a Throwback Thursday short print insert. But I'm going to tell you,
wouldn't a cool like Freddie Freeman card be all of his like a series of all his home runs that he hit in the World Series? Like that would be an awesome card.
You know what Freddie Freeman short print card of 2025 is?
No,
him holding up the trophy, which is awesome. I will say this:
that is cool.
When you're holding up the World Series trophy, whether like Corey Seager, one of his coolest cards. last year with Stadium Club. His short printed card is him at the parade, of him on the stage holding up the World Series trophy above his head as Jared Sandler is dancing around the Astros' grave. As you know, he's about to say, "We'll never know."
Man, this is the highest Jared's ever jumped in his life. He could have dunked that
basketball.
What's
the little wooden pony thing that people do, Kevin, where they run around on the little wooden horse?
A hobby horse.
Yeah, I thought Jared was going to hobby horse all over the place.
So anyways, there's my rip on. I do like Topps products. I don't get who picks the photos and say, man, nobody's going to want that photo. Make sure to put it on a card.
You give them a thumbs down in terms of their job.
For the most part, yeah. Oh, if you want the really cool Wyatt Langford short print and tops, he's walking around the batting cage. So if you ever thought, gosh, I remember that 3:30 moment where he was walking around the batting cage getting ready to hit batting practice.
Nobody remembers that.
Yeah, it's an awesome card tops. I'm sure nobody wants it.
I feel like he's being sarcastic here.
I think it's actually an easy job that somebody who's doing it's like, I don't even know what sports are, but I'll tell you what I do like. I like photos of guys doing nothing.
I want that as a drop. I don't know why.
All right, so Alex Bregman signed last night with the Boston Red Sox. It's a 3-year, $120 million contract, but the contract is a little confusing. He has an opt-out after year one. He has an opt-out after year two. So he actually has an opt-out in, I guess I'll say, all 3 years. After 3 years, he would be a free agent again. Also, the $120 million. I believe it was reported last night that only $90 million will be paid over those 3 years if he stays with the Red Sox for 3 years, because deferred money.
Yep.
So the Red Sox figured out how to do the deferred money deal too. And I don't know how much of that deferred money he won't get if he opts out after year one. That's where it gets confusing. Like, well, what does he get if he opts out after 1 year? The other thing, Alex Bregman, Gold Glove winner at third base in the American League last year. He will be playing second base for the Boston Red Sox. The other thing, too, is, boy, Alex Bregman, he's one of those guys that I think you love when he's on your team. You just really dislike him when he's playing against you. He will be here for opening day. The Rangers do have a 4-game series to start the season off against the Boston Red Sox. That team did just get a lot better. If you look at adding Alex Bregman to Rafael Devers, Jared Duran, supposedly Trevor Story is going to be ready for the season.
You don't believe that?
He's running into the Anthony Rendon situation where he just, ever since he signed that contract with Boston, everything has gone wrong. Physically for him. Now, what's interesting about the Houston Astros, after officially losing Alex Bregman, even though they told you about a week ago, look, we gave him our best offer. He said no, so we're moving on. They did say Jose Altuve will play more left field this year.
Oh.
So Jose Altuve as the everyday second baseman for the Houston Astros sounds like it's coming to a close.
He's going to make a lot of those Evan Carter plays, jumping up and catching the ball on the wall.
I thought you meant sitting at the podium.
He's jumped up. He's reached up. He got at least 7 feet high with his glove on that one because he's like 5'5". But Jose Altuve has regressed as a second baseman throughout time. Not that he was a great defensive second baseman ever, but over time, he's regressed, so I guess the Astros are looking at it. But you know who played left field for them quite a bit last year? And he's really bad at it, but he's arguably one of the best hitters, is Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess they're moving Yordan Alvarez, trying to get him more to designated hitter. They picked up Padres. He was with Tampa last year.
Losing Kyle Tucker.
They lost Kyle Tucker. He's a really good player, by the way. He did make the All-Star team last year, so I guess he'll be playing third base. The Astros are not a bad team, but they got worse yesterday. Yeah. Officially, now that Bregman is not coming back, like we know it for sure, that does hurt the Astros lineup. That puts more pressure on Altuve, Yordan Alvarez to really be all-star premium hitters as their depth goes down just a little bit more. So now I know I'm running out of time here, but the top 100 players right now is coming to a close tonight. We know last night we found out, we know that the Rangers will not have anybody in the top 10 as Corey Seager fell to number 17. Now, I think some Ranger fans on social media I saw were upset saying that's too low. The only way I'll agree with you on that is if Corey Seager were to stay healthy all year, he's a top 10 player for sure in baseball. He probably is not going to be able to beat out Shohei Ohtani.
But, yeah.
But with because of his injuries last year, because last year in April he played hurt, it's really tough to rank him in the top 10. But we know this. If Corey Seager stays healthy this whole year, which would be the first time, I believe, in his Rangers career that he would not go on the injured list, I think he's a top 10 player. You do have one of the best players in the game, especially hitting-wise. It's just a matter of if he can stay healthy, he'll get back into the top 10. He just has to be able to play, let's say, 142 out of 162 games. And it's like he goes on the injured list for 10 days, and then you give him another 10 days where, like, hey, you just need the Sunday off or the day game off on Wednesday.
Since everything is finishing up tonight with that top 100, I might want to play a game with y'all next week where project the Rangers in the top 100 next year. And, like, you have to tell me where you think they'll be, who will fall out, who will go in. That could be fun.
Yeah, so they got in. Semien was, I'm sorry, I don't have his number. He was, like, in the 50s around that number. Then you had just making the list in the 90s was Wyatt. Jacob DeGrom and Wyatt Langford. So you have four guys in it. That's not great. You beat the average barely. Yeah, every team should have pretty much one guy. I mean, sorry, three guys on the list.
Yeah.
So you're kind of right at about the average, but I do think they have a lot of candidates who could jump back on that list or onto the list.
I do too. Absolutely. Yeah, I can think of at least three offhand that I'm like, I could see them making it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, do you want more baseball?
Yeah.
Why are you saying sad?
I got a little bit of a sad football note.
Do you want to tell us now? Tell me now.
Tashard Choice is going to go be the Lions running back coach.
Oh.
Instead of taking the Cowboys job, he went back to UT.
I was hoping he'd stay.
And then said, nah, screw that. I'm going to go coach for the Lions.
I mean, UT is going to have better running backs than the Cowboys. And obviously, it's not the Lions. They have really good running backs. And they're like, hold on. So your strategy is what? No running backs? Ooh, I'm going to go back to college. Wait, a team that does care about running backs?
They paid him more.
I'm going to go with them. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, hopeful predictions for the 2025 MLB season. Could any of these happen next on The Fan?
How cold did your house get last night? If you're like, gosh, I had the thermostat maybe on 70 degrees, but it was just struggling to get to 70. I don't know why. Maybe your windows are letting in the cold air. It's time to call Best Buy Windows and Siding. 469 Windows. Fix those drafty windows right now. Get 10 windows installed for just $59.50, zero down, 0% financing with approved credit. Keep the cold out. Keep the savings in. And we know summertime, how tough it is to keep your house cool. Best Buy Windows and Siding can help out with those energy bills. Call them today at 469 Windows or go to their website, bestbuywindowsandsiding.com today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.